I was mentioning Russell Wilson in the last segment. And if you're looking for a player prop bet this weekend, take the over for completions for the Seattle quarterback. He's got a shot at a $25,000 bonus if he finishes with a completion percentage above 66%. Going into the final game, he is at 65.2%. I am seeing lots of screen passes, dump offs, button hooks. In a lost season, hey, let's get the man $250,000 and throw short all over the field. Joining me now, it is one of our favorites from Football Outsiders. It is Aaron Schatz. And Aaron, before anything else, you know, usually when you do a radio interview, it's a quick promo rushed at the end. I don't want to do that because Football Outsiders is great. I go on it all the time. Where can people find the great work that you and your team do?
Sure. On Twitter, I'm FO_A_Schatz. That's spelled A-S-C-H-A-T-Z. FootballOutsiders.com is the website, and you'll want to check out FO Plus. That's the subscription with more advanced stats, metrics, fantasy football research data, and picks against the spread at FootballOutsiders.com/subscribe.
Yes, and for anyone out there that's like, I don't want all my analytics, I get it. I'm a dummy at math as well, but I like winning in my fantasy league, and I like it when my bets pay off. And if you go on Football Outsiders, your chances of winning will go up. Speaking of betting, what the hell do we do this weekend? It's, Baker Mayfield. Oh, no, he's out. Joe Burrow, he's out. Dallas says they're going to play everyone. But their chances of getting the two seed are pretty limited. Some teams have got a lot to play for. Some teams have nothing to play for. And if the Colts lose to the Jags, the Raiders and Chargers can make the playoffs by having a tie. How do you go into this final week?
Yeah, it's a wild one. I mean, I do think you have to consider motivation, not just prior performance when you bet Week 18. Listen, my best advice is just don't. Bet week 18. Take the week off. That. Like, there'll be a lot better, clearer bets when we get to the playoffs. But there are, for one thing, there are games this week where it's clear both teams need to try. And I think there are some clear picks in those games. And then there are other games where, interestingly enough, the line goes sort of opposite of the motivation. Like, I would expect the Patriots to be favored by Miami over Miami by more than 6.5. Given that the Patriots should be motivated and the Dolphins not. So, you know, I mean, if the motivation seems to go opposite of the line, I might go with the motivation.
But part of it also is then you have to also, you don't have to just check availability because of either COVID protocols or resting, but then it's also, you know, the schedule. What time are teams playing? Because they might have a better idea of what their fate is. You know, I'm looking up quickly off the top. Like, I guess Buffalo Jets and Miami New England are both playing at the same time. Buffalo gets up 27-0, then New England shuts it down?
They did a good job of putting games at the same time so that hopefully there is as little scoreboard watching as possible.
Yeah.
If the Bills are up by 27, the Patriots shut it down is better than the alternative of the Bills already won at 1 o'clock, so the Patriots don't even try at 4.
Yeah. Is part of that number just because of weird voodoo, which I know has very little place in Football Outsiders, but it just seems when Miami plays New England and when they play late in the year, those are the games where it's like, wait a minute, why are the Dolphins leading?
Yes, that is part of the reason why the Patriots are only favored by 6.5 is because of the belief that Miami has some kind of weird voodoo over the Patriots late in the year. No question about it.
And then with Miami for a second, I'm curious, and there's going to be 75 questions at Aaron Schatz where it's just me going, what do the numbers say? This really is the laziest interview I do all week. But when you look at someone like Tua Tagovailoa, we were all excited for him because of what he did at Alabama. And, you know, I think as just football fans, we want to see as many good young quarterbacks succeeding. It just hasn't happened with Tua. That really bore out last week. What do the numbers say about him?
The numbers say he's better than you think he is. I do think this is one where you do have to consider both the numbers and the film work. He's been a slightly below average passer this year, We have him ranked in value per play. We have him ranked 19th out of 33 qualifying quarterbacks. The problem is that he seems to have sort of maximized what you can do in the scheme he's playing in, because they don't really attempt deep throws, and so much is based around the RPOs. So the question about Tua is not how good is he and how good can he be in the future, as much as it is he maximizing what you can do with a quarterback, or does his limitations mean that you have to scheme around him? And the film people feel pretty strongly that his limitations mean you have to scheme around him. And it's not like he's been so good that you have to say to the film people, but look at the numbers, because the numbers say he's been, you know, better than you think he's been, but not really that good.
Okay. Okay. This next question, you can just say, I don't know. Please feel free. Because I wonder with a guy like Tua, how much of it's him, and then how much of it is no running game, not a great offensive line, which sort of leads to my question. Who is the quarterback that gets the most help from everyone around him? And who's the good quarterback, not bad quarterback, but who's the good quarterback who gets the least help from the rest of the team around him?
That is a tough question.
Yeah.
The least amount of help, I think the answer might, it's tough. In some ways, the answer is Aaron Rodgers of the top quarterbacks.
Right.
Because they've had so many injuries on the offensive line. And he's not, his two and three receivers are not good. The problem is his number one receiver is so good that it makes it hard to say that he has the most limited stuff around him. If you still believe Matt Ryan is good, then the answer is pretty clearly Matt Ryan.
I don't know. After week one. Okay, this one is not a DVOA question, but is there any quarterback that when they get sacked, you feel worse for than when Matt Ryan? Every time he gets hit, I'm like, oh, and I'm surprised when he gets up. There's no number to grade this. It just feels like, I remember that week one loss to Philly when they were ragdolling him and treating him like a pinata. I feel like I feel worse for him than any other quarterback when they get hit.
How I used to feel about Andrew Luck.
Yeah. By the way, and this one, again, not a DVO question. I'm joined by Aaron Schatz. Make sure to go to Football Outsiders. But if I would, did we ever find out a full story behind why he walked away? And I ask this only in the sense of that is a team that has so much talent. And if Andrew Luck was there, wow, would we be viewing the Colts differently?
Yeah, there is no advanced story. He just didn't feel like doing it anymore. He just, you know, the fact is a lot of work goes into not just playing in the NFL, but in particular coming back from an injury. And I don't think that the reasons for his retirement are any different than what he actually said, which is, I just don't have it. I just don't mentally have it in me anymore.
Yep. Yeah. No. And sometimes the simplest answer is the right one. And coming back from injury is hard and often very lonely. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and then there was the hubbubaloo about the AP writer Hubarkish and whether he would or wouldn't vote for Aaron and vaccines and all that. But what I'm just curious about, from the numbers side, in your mind, who deserves to be the MVP? Is it Aaron Rodgers or is it Tom Brady?
It depends on two things. The first is, which is more important, total value or value per play? In other words, Aaron Rodgers has been the best quarterback on a per-play basis. How much does it matter that Tom Brady has had like 160 more dropbacks than Rodgers? It's not just that Rodgers missed one game. It's that the Bucs offense just passes a lot more than the Packers offense. So they depend a lot more on Brady. First question. The second question is, how much do you value the teammates when you think of the phrase most valuable player? Because like I said, Rodgers has a great number one receiver, but at, you know, two and three receiver at tight end and very much on the offensive line, there's no question Tom Brady is surrounded by more talent than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think that's what tips it over to Rodgers for me, is that Rodgers makes more of the talent that he has to work with than Brady. Because other than Devontae Adams versus Mike Evans, pretty much every comparison of Green Bay to Tampa Bay this year, you would choose the players from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong answer, but I tend to agree with you that it's a slight edge to Aaron Rodgers.
Is a wrong answer, by the way. There is a wrong answer. The wrong answer is I don't like Aaron Rodgers as a person, so I'm voting for Tom Brady.
Yes.
That was Hev Arkush's answer, and that is the wrong answer.
Yes, yes, that is 100%. By the way, what I loved is, I don't know if it is an apology. It seemed like he was more sorry for just revealing his thoughts on a radio interview. Anyway, to me, that's one of the stories that survives for a couple of days, and I think Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP anyway. Derrick Henry returning. What I love about this story, Aaron, is I feel like we're in the mid-1990s, where running backs matter again. I love the Derrick Henry story because it's being discussed and how much of an impact it could have on the entire AFC playoffs. I feel like, you know, when Emmitt Smith held out for the first two games with the Cowboys in 1993, and I'm dating myself by using that reference.
I'm still on team running backs don't matter much. There's no question that Derrick Henry is better than the alternative. No question. But the fact is, I think when you go back and you look at the Tennessee Titans season and the fact that their ratings are nowhere near as good as their record, and you look at the games that they lost, it's A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, but in particular A.J. Brown, who is really the most important player on that offense other than the quarterback.
Yeah, and if they beat the Texans, they'll have gone 6-3 without Derrick Henry. Poor running backs, Aaron. They get hit harder than anyone else. And then we're like,
people have asked me what have been the effects of analytics on the NFL. And the fact is, the number one strongest effect of analytics on the NFL over the last 20 years has been to drop running back salaries. And I apologize.
Do you want to personally apologize, like when Jonathan Taylor 3 years from now has been cut by the, or by 2 years from now has been cut by the Colts? Would you like to apologize right now?
I'm sorry for what we, the analytics community, has done to running backs and their ability to make money as professionals. And here's to the NFIs or whatever they're called that help you get paid in college, because hopefully running backs get paid in college.
Yeah, because they're not going to the NFL. Did the analytics change much in terms of how they and people like yourself view the Cowboys and the Cardinals after just one game?
The Cowboys dropped in our ratings and the Cardinals climbed in our ratings, but we still have the Cowboys number one for the year. So, I mean, I happen to think that the Cowboys are underrated. If you asked me, where is their value in Super Bowl odds? I mean, there's no question that the Packers Chiefs are rightly the number one most likely teams to make the Super Bowl. But where is their value? I think the Cowboys is the answer of where their value. We have them as our number one team for the season overall, and we have them as the second most likely team to make it out of the NFC. But I believe that their odds of winning the NFC championship are full.
Should Micah Parsons win not Rookie of the Year, but Defensive Player of the Year?
I'm seriously thinking about voting for him. I am one of the voters, and I'm seriously considering it. It's an interesting question of, like, how much is his flexibility matter versus the sack, just the raw sack total of T.J. Watt versus the every down dominance that's not necessarily reflected in stats of Aaron Donald. Like, that's the three-player race in my mind.
Yeah. And I wonder if they just said to Micah, go sack the quarterback. Maybe he's at 20. We look at it differently. Aaron, last question for you, just on offensive rookie of the year. Who you got, Mac Jones or Ja'Marr Chase?
I think Ja'Marr Chase won it last week.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I was one of the people who, I may have been the only one, but the Kansas City people had gotten to me. I was planning to vote for Creed Humphrey. I was planning to vote for Creed Humphrey, the center from Kansas City, and vote for a lineman. Linemen do not win Rookie of the Year very often, but I was going to vote for one. But what Ja'Marr Chase did against Kansas City last week, I can't imagine that at this point not voting for him.
Is voting for an offensive lineman for offensive Rookie of the Year, is that a hipster move?
It is a total hipster move, yes.
Yeah, it is. It's hey, did you guys hear this album by Modest Mouse? The B-side is fantastic. Aaron, as we end this, once again, please give to the listeners all the places they can go to seek out and find the wonderful knowledge you guys provide.
Yeah, footballoutsiders.com. Look right now for a big article about what Trey Lance did last week and why he's the quarterback of the future in San Francisco. Coming soon is your DFS advice for Week 18. Also follow me on Twitter, FO_ASCATZ, or follow Football Outsiders at FB Outsiders.
Aaron, always, always appreciate. Good luck with any bets you might make. And we will chat soon, my friend. I always appreciate when you make time to join the show.
Sounds good, man. Hope everybody enjoys Week 18, whatever games matter to them, and playoffs, too.
Thank you so much, sir. That is Aaron Schatz. FootballOutsiders.com. Seriously, like, go read it. Grab whatever podcast they're on. It's always, if you're a football fan, it is an absolute must-listen.